T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball Insider Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. It all starts right here, right now, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good morning to you, baseball people. It is a Saturday morning in October, and it feels like fall because both of the baseball team's seasons are done. I'm Matt Spiegel, and he is Bruce Levine. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Matt, and I can hear it in your voice, the disappointment that what was once a postseason where everybody in Chicago, every baseball fan was looking forward to an extended run for their teams. It's over just like that, and just like that occurred in 3 days for both teams. We are going to get into that. We're going to get into the Cubs and White Sox seasons in total. We're going to get into a postseason and where what teams are going. But more importantly, this is your show. Matt and I can be contacted at 312-644-6767. Text Matt at 670-11. We'll read all that's worthy on the air. As you know, this is a baseball show that's on 52 weeks out of the year, so we will be with you all winter long talking baseball and what will be the season of 2021. But today it's all about Cubs, White Sox, their seasons, and their quick outs in the postseason.
We knew all year long, Bruce, that these two teams were in very different spots in their life cycle. The Cubs trying to hold on to a winning window, trying to hold on for what everyone, including them, openly perceived as a possible last dance for the core players. Meanwhile, the White Sox on the way up, were they ready? Are they ready to compete? And they proved that they were ready to compete and contend. So they felt different, these narratives, these storylines all year long. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that as they both leave in the first round here, the exits feel very different too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And you know what's going to be really fascinating, Matt, and I think people in baseball are going to be concentrating a lot on this, is from a 60-game season, if you're an owner, if you're a general manager, if you're a president of baseball operations, how much credence do you put into how you feel about your team today if it's advanced to the playoffs and out or still continuing on, or a team that didn't make it? In other words, what type of validation do you give the 2020 season as to how you build and rebuild and assess your team? Because I think that's going to be the fascinating thing to me as we watch baseball in the after postseason and watch the general manager meetings virtually, the winter meetings virtually, and how general managers and baseball people set up their teams, and how tough they are on the individuals, how much credence you put into a good play by a team, by a player that maybe didn't have that before. Can you count on 60 games equating what you're going to get from these players over 162? I think that's going to be the fascinating thing that we take out of 2020.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And immediately what jumps to mind as you talk about that, Bruce, is if you're the Cubs, Do you believe that Javier Baez would have refound himself over the course of 100 regular season games that did not get played? Or would he have been this chaotic offensive presence swinging for the fences with virtually every at-bat that he was during the regular season and the playoffs? Would Chris Bryant have found himself? And if you're a GM in an out-of-town team, an out-of-town organization, do you look at the seasons of those two guys and say, I'm not going to worry about that. I would still engage in trade talks because I'll look at the body of work and what they actually have done for their entire career. Those kind of conversations are going to be fascinating.
Yeah, yes, they will. And you pointed out something that that is something that's going to happen. It's already happening with teams that are out of the playoffs, looking towards 2021. And then equaling that is, what type of revenue source do we have? What type of revenue stream do we have? Can we afford to pick up an $18 million contract? Can we afford to pick up a $12 million contract? Can we afford to pick up those contracts knowing that these particular players are going to be free agents after 1 year? And that's where we're at with the Cubs and White Sox players right now. Bryant, Rizzo, Schwarber, Baez, all free agents after 2021. It's here. So these are going to be the interesting focuses of the teams going into after the 2020 season. Again, 312-644-6767. Your thoughts on your teams and your teams going forward after 2020.
Let's listen to David Ross talk about the offense. This is the big issue. There are other things to discuss. Obviously, the bullpen, although Craig Kimbrell's reclamation is one of the better stories, truth be told, of the 2020 season. I have questions as to why the corners were playing in with two outs and men on first and second yesterday, Bruce, but you know, the big question is certainly the offense. So let's listen to David Ross talk about the offense really for the entire year. He might as well be talking about these two playoff games in which they scored one run on an Ian Happ home run. But this is Ross on the offense never really getting in gear.
This season in general is unique if you look around the league, and we just never really got going. You know, I never thought we really hit our stride offensively. We had some spurts there for a moment. These guys will go into the offseason and work and try to be better going into next year. But just felt like we could never really get going this year. We never came around to really swinging the bats. Had some spots there. Just, you know, a lot of these guys, just uncharacteristic of who they are, you know, who we've seen for a long time. I think there's a lot of guys that we just never felt like they showed up to be who they were offensively. And it wasn't for lack of effort or work or concentration. And these guys were really trying hard and just couldn't find it.
All right, so here's the question. Was there not enough time? Like, did they never show up to what they were? The numbers would back that up. But stylistically, in terms of the kind of struggles that they've had, it feels very similar, Bruce. It feels similar to struggles we knew to expect at some point from these Cubs hitters as a collective. So where are you in this? Is Ross right that they just kind of never found it, or is this what they are to some extent?
I don't know about I can't go collective on players, even though there was the group didn't hit at all. You know, I mean, you have David Bote leading this team over 60 games with 29 RBI. You have Ian Happ as the second top run producer. You have the guy that's been questioned the most about his offense over the last 3, 4, 5 years, and that's Jason Hayward, having a very good year and being productive even into the last game yesterday, having a big hit to try to keep the team in it. So the upside down of the hitters is interesting, but I think you have to analyze each for what it is and who he is. You have Bryant, who dealt with a myriad of different injuries over this season. As a matter of fact, collectively compounding that, injuries over his last 3 or 4 years that have contributed most likely to not being the player that he had been in 2016. You have Rizzo, who, hit for power at certain times but didn't hit for average. You have a situation with Schwarber, like Baez, who, you know, the strikeouts were more impactful than the big hits. So I think I don't know if you can do the collective. Why did they fail? And is it Anthony Iaposi and the hitting people's problem? And why didn't they get more out of him? I don't know. I don't know if we can go there. I think you have to analyze each and give each its own time to figure out why. I think generally, fans feel collectively they failed, and there must be a reason for it. Theo mm-hmm. Epstein will address this on Monday with his usual probably 60 to 70 minute session with the media. Unfortunately, over the last 3 years, it's been a disappointing end. But I don't know if you call 2020 disappointing when you consider the Cubs won their division. You know, were they a good team all year? No. I mean, all year was 60 games. They were an under 500 team, Matt, after the 13-3 start, okay? So that was average to below average after the really hot start. But, you know, again, are you disappointed in a year when they win the division because you always expect more from a team that won a World Series 4 years ago?
Well, after the 13-3 start, they never really looked like a very good team. And the division has had four teams in and they're all done. But it's tricky. But let me counter for a moment what you're saying in terms of the collective. I remember the moment when they lost in LA in the regular season, Bruce, in 2018, when people said, "Oh, I think we now know how to get the Cubs out." I remember it was high fastballs and a 12-6 curveball or a spike slider or a changeup, something dropping from that high fastball tunnel. And I think so many of them in this lineup are gettable in that same way. So it does feel like a collective to me because it's a launch angle revolution that then gets countered by this high fastball and the slower stuff that breaks. And they've gone through hitting coach after hitting coach and different approach, and they've just never really been able to pick it up. This is the collective stat that I keep coming back to is Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo in the postseason since 2016 are a combined 19 for 141 for a 134 mm-hmm. batting average, 51 strikeouts, 6 walks in those 141 at-bats. I guess there's 147 plate appearances. But that is a collective failure in the postseason. And all these fastballs we're seeing from the Marlins, I feel like teams know how to get them out, and the Cubs just can't seem to counter it. High velocity up in the strike zone, and they seem gettable as a group.
Well, but in those and you know, good points that you make. But during those regular seasons, you saw their regular production, and you saw really outstanding years. So you know, breaking down whether these are players that are going to have seasons like this again, rather than just looking at the postseason, mm-hmm. I think that's what you look at as to whether you want to continue to have these guys on your team, and whether, more importantly, you offer them extensions, short or long, to be a part of what your 2021 and on clubs are going to be. I think, you know, postseason is totally separate. You know, do you feel comfortable saying that Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant will have their normal seasons going into next year and beyond? I think that's where you decide whether or not you want them to be on your team any longer. You want them to be a part of the mix. You want them to be a part of your future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. I think when the better pitchers become the opposition, who throw harder and then they throw more fastballs. Yesterday, Sixto Sanchez threw a higher percentage of fastballs than he had in any start all year because they know how to go after these guys. I think they need to diversify the lineup every year, whether they bring in Daniel Murphy or Castellanos or those kind of guys that, you know, you hope for Zobrist to come back as we were for one of the years. It's, you're looking for those different kind of hitters. I think they need to add those kind of hitters somehow, some way for the regular season and the postseason. But, you know,
I mean, go ahead and finish.
You know, I think it's going to be, it feels like the same kind of postseason issue they've been facing for the last 2 years. And for whatever reasons, be that financially or the difficulty in moving some of these guys, because you want to make sure you get value and you love them because of what they brought in 2016. I think it's going to be another very difficult offseason to make decisions, and they might not be able to make them. They might not be able to move some of these guys, right? Could be a weird environment for that.
The other point is, which I brought up to Rizzo in his post game yesterday, was, is change a bad thing? In other words, would some of these players embrace going somewhere else? Now, Chris Bryant talked about the fact, and Baez went into length yesterday about saying, I can't imagine going anywhere else and being treated as well as I've been treated here, and having the facilities and the support of management and ownership that I have here. So he was, I mean, it was basically a commercial saying how important it is for him to stay here and how much he's loved being a part of this. But would a Rizzo, would a Bryant, would a Schwarber embrace going somewhere else at this point? I mean, are they worn down by the 2016? Is there too much weight on each individual player where, as you said, there needs to be an influx of other players to come in and help them win games going forward?
Let's listen to Anthony Rizzo answer your question yesterday, Bruce, after the game on the inevitability of roster change.
I'm not sure. I'm so early. Who knows where the game's going to go, where this country's going to go, where life's going to go. Baseball next year seems so far away right now. But, you know, the winter meeting's going to come and go, the GM meetings, the World Series, all these significant dates. And I'm sure, I mean, I know for a fact Mr. Ricketts wants to put a winning team on this field. And our fans deserve it. The city deserves it. And we have a lot of guys in this clubhouse that have helped us win and can continue to help us win. So I know Theo and everyone, top to bottom, will be putting the best product on the field and doing what's best for this organization.
You posed the question, Bruce, and we have other guys answering it about the awkwardness and possible inevitability of change. We've got callers on the line, too. Should we take a break and come back and talk to the peoples?
I think so. Yes, indeed.
All right. 312-644-6767. If you want to hop in on the phone, that is the same number to text us at as well. Ron Coomer's going to talk Cubs with us at the top of the hour. Lots of White Sox conversation to go, including Ricky Renteria's future. And you'll hear from some of those players after the loss in Oakland. It's Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The 1-2 pitch from Kinsler to Baez. Strike three called on the outside corner, out number one.
We're competing against the other team and against our struggle, you know, and it was hard. And, you know, it's not an excuse because we were trying everything we could the whole season. And, you know, we didn't get hot. Like, Tony didn't get hot. I didn't get hot. Schwarber didn't get hot. It's something that we were trying. And it just kept going back for us. And there's no excuse. We compete and we give everything we had. It just didn't go our way.
It's Javier Baez talking about the Cubs players competing not just against the opposition, but competing against their own struggles. It's insightful stuff. Matt Spiegel here. Bruce Levine, what do you think of Javi talking about it like that yesterday?
Well, you and I compete against our own struggles every Saturday, don't we? I mean,
And lose.
Sometimes we're doing it against each other, but mostly collectively, don't you think? So from that perspective, I think you hear the emotion in him, you know, saying that, we're out of answers here, pal. 60 games, you know, basically 150 at-bats. You know, we're talking about a season that, if it was put into a regular baseball season, would only be going up to June 1st, you know, April, May. That's what we just saw as a whole season here in 2020. So how much credence do you want to put into that? How much stress? How much of your future do you want to depend upon this sample size of games to project who you have here? I mean, we're talking a year ago before Javier Baez hurt himself and had a bad second half about one of the top players, maybe the top seven or eight players in the National League. Do you still look at him that way after 60 games of failure offensively in 2020? That's the answer that Theo Epstein has to come up with. That's the answer Tom Ricketts has to come up with if Mr. Epstein goes to him and says, hey, we were close to a five-year, $150 million deal with Baez before the pandemic hit. Are we going to continue on in that way with Javier Baez, one of the top shortstops in the game of baseball?
I personally am extremely disappointed with what was the season and the postseason performance. It's just swinging the full swing for the fences all the time, including when Sandy Alcantara is just blowing you away, including yesterday when they have that 48-pitch, two-inning stretch against Sixto Sanchez. Baez, after the Hayward single when Contreras is out, it's been a long inning for Sixto. He walked two guys. The first two pitches are full, gigantic swings. What happened to the Javi? Even the 2016 Javi in the playoffs against San Francisco, that great comeback when he and Contreras both shortened up and hit for contact, these little singles to make that rally happen. What happened to that guy situationally? I feel like he doesn't exist anymore at all. And I don't know what to do with that guy.
Yeah, Matt, what do you do? So Matt Spiegel is now the president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs.
It's about time.
He knows that Baez was one of the top players in the game up until this year, okay? Mm-hmm. You see a player out there talking about the fact that the lack of video for the players is impactful. We've seen it all over baseball that happens to be true. We've seen the fact that the hitting lab just wasn't there for these guys this year, no matter how many great metrics people and how many formulas they have. It just didn't equate in this short season. So with that said, again, do you go back and is this the Javier Baez of the previous year as you analyze giving him a long-term contract, or is he somebody that you can't relate to any longer?
No, I use all those qualifiers, all those legitimate qualifiers, and I think the video did affect him. But I use all those legitimate qualifiers to make the case in trade conversations. And I entertain those trade conversations because a big part of why you want to invest in a Javier Baez is the fan allure, the fan relationship, and the draw. But you're going to have a modified attendance next year. You're going to be looking at a greatly reduced attendance next year. So that becomes less important. And just everybody's up. You're not going to be able to keep everybody. And you might not be able to keep at least two of them. You might trade one of them. Let's say you trade Baez in this offseason. You might start the year with Bryant and still end up trading him by the deadline. It's in a very, very tough spot that they're in. And if it were me, if I was president, you just named me president, I am bringing Javier Baez's profile to me in the winter meetings and seeing what I can get.
Well, yeah, and I think that's prudent, and that would be the right move. But again, let's say you do come up with this final verdict. You're only trading him for 1 year of contract control.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Who's going to trade top young players for a 1 year contract control? They're going to wait for him to become a free agent and try to sign him themselves. You know, I think the totality of the player is missed here. One of the best defensive shortstops in the game, only 27 years old. This is going to be a guy that will eventually turn it around. But I understand your thought process on the 60-game season. I understand your frustration. I understand Cub fans' frustration. But can you isolate those 60 games and move on with an idea that this is still a $30 million shortstop?
Let's go to the phone lines, and we will talk plenty of White Sox throughout the course of this show as well. First up, though, it's Mike in Frankfort, Michigan. Mike, you're on Inside the Clubhouse with me and Bruce Levine. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Two quick thoughts. First of all, I want to say thanks to Major League Baseball and the Players Association for pulling this off. 60 games was better than nothing, and I loved this season. Bruce, as to the Sox, should Sox fans be worried that Han made so many mistakes on what I would call the tier two free agent signings? Just about each guy they spotted failed. How do we look at that going forward, as they have to obviously keep building for next year?
Okay. Thanks for your call. Well, Matt, I don't know. I guess, you know, some of the free agents haven't worked out for him, but in totality, I think Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams have set up a team to be admired for the future, don't you? I mean, there's a tremendous amount of talent on that team that they've traded for. The international market, you can't say they've failed in free agents with Jose Abreu and Luis Robert as far as free agents. Would you like to have Luis Robert's future? I mean, I think so. I mean, yeah. I think we're looking at a potentially a superstar player here. So no matter how much he struggled in September, I think we're looking at talented guys. But, you know, I understand the caller's idea that, you know, they made mistakes in the past with free agents. But, you know, right now, I think people should be pretty happy with how the roster's set up.
I mean, let's go through them. Steve Cishek, okay, that didn't work out. You know, Edwin Encarnacion, okay, very, very disappointing year. They've got an option year on him. I think they probably won't pick that up. You know, Dallas Keuchel, phenomenal year. Phenomenal year.
One of the top pitchers in the league.
Yeah, so you're unhappy with the postseason start. I get it, but he had a terrific season and is going to age gracefully with that stuff. Yasmani Grandal, disappointing defensively at times, disappointing start offensively, but lots of big hits along the way and a big veteran presence. You don't look at that as a failure. So I think it's, if anything, it's a mixed bag with a couple of upsides on the free agents.
Gio Gonzalez as well.
Gio Gonzalez is you call that a miss when he doesn't even end up on the playoff roster. Nomar Mazara was a trade, a worthy flyer. By the end of the year, he had a pretty good playoff and a pretty good end of the regular season as a contact guy and not really a power guy. I suspect that they'll move on there. What kind of free agent targets you think you're looking at? A starting pitcher for the White Sox?
Absolutely. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, Matt, is one more veteran starting pitcher so that the growth chart of Dunning, the growth chart of Cease, the growth chart of maybe Michael Kopech when he comes back, the growth chart of Crochet. Those are all things they need. They need some time. Player development needs time. And to buy yourself some time and have an idea that you can run further into the playoffs next year, I think a starting pitcher like a Keuchel, if they're available out there, would be ideal via either trade or free agency.
How about, let me give you a couple of names. Trevor Bauer is going to get a lot of money, but he only wants a one-year deal. That's what he says that he's doing. So Trevor Bauer's out there. That would be fascinating. Marcus Stroman is another guy who's out there. Taiwan Walker just went to Toronto. Masahiro Tanaka, free agent. Jake Odorizzi, some interesting names out there.
Yeah. And if you can get him on short term, none of them would be awful, okay? Just to have their veteran presence and know that you can have some guys that can fill up some innings for you, throw 150 to 175. That's what we're looking for in the future. The 200-inning pitcher is obsolete. That's not going to be happening very much anymore, not with the advent of bullpens and people coming in the fifth and sixth inning from the bullpen. So you're not asking for guys that throw 200, Bumgarners and people like that throwing 250. You're looking for 150, and that would be a supplement for Cease and Dunning and Kopech to start building their own innings and their own careers.
Let's go out of Kevin in Palatine. Kevin, you're on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and me, Matt Spiegel, on the Score. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. There's no way I'm giving a long-term deal to Bryant or Baez. I would hesitantly pick up the option on Rizzo. But, Bruce, you said, these guys have a great regular season. But as Matt so eloquently pointed out, and it was sprayed all over Twitter yesterday, these guys haven't hit in the playoffs in 4 years. So I don't know exactly what is wrong with Bryant, but, Matt, you brought it up multiple times. Something happened in his power. And it's great that he went on and made his little curse word thing on Twitter, but he was the same guy in those two playoff games. But here's what I really want to talk about. Bruce, what can Theo say Monday? Just replay the same tape from 3 years. We've heard October starts in April. We've heard a reckoning is coming. And what do we get for this great reckoning? We got Daniel freaking Descalzo. He hasn't done the damn thing because he's painted this team into a corner. Now, here's what I would do. Start Altuve next year. I love John Lester. He gave us every nickel he was worth. He can't come back. He is done. So put that guy in there and then fix the most egregious error if you can get Ricketts to spend any money, which they haven't done in two off seasons, and get DJ LeMahieu. Fix the biggest mistake, which there are many, that Theo has done. But to be honest with you, I don't care what he has to say Monday because he's flapped his jaws for 3 years and he keeps putting the same team out there. So any words that he says tomorrow, unless he's talking about major changes, but he keeps threatening it, but he doesn't do it. There's been no reckoning. There's been nothing.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin, thank you. That's
a good, strong call. I love the passion, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is going to be fascinating to hear what Theo has to say because last year at this time, they were talking about it needing a change of direction from the leadership. And Joe Maddon was not asked back. David Ross was supplanted. David Ross, by all calculations that you can look at here, prior to the postseason, you have to say he did a phenomenal job of keeping these guys together, pulling the right levers when he could, of getting the most out of a team that didn't hit at all and winning the division, although a flawed division, as you pointed out earlier, with all the Central Division teams in both American and National League now gone from the playoffs. So, again, it's going to be fascinating to hear Theo, and it's also going to be fascinating to hear what Theo's future is like with 1 year left on a contract and where he goes or whether he stays or leaves after 2021. So he's the fifth Beatle on this one, okay, because you're talking about those four big free agents, and then you're talking about Theo Epstein and the future of him in Chicago after 10 years.
Yeah, he brought up the number one free agent target for me. Should they be able to spend, and they'd only be able to spend if they you know, in addition to the Lester money, the Chatwood money, the Quintana money, they might have to trade either Baez or Bryant, get that number off the books and get that impending free agency off the books. But DJ LeMahieu, who they traded away for Ian Stewart at the beginning, has evolved into a guy with a little bit of power, but a truly great contact hitter, in the, which would just be a tremendous boon to this lineup. There is, you know, there's a few guys like that out there. LeMahieu, Tommy La Stella, we remember him. Michael Brantley, some free agent types like that. I don't know if they can do any of it, though, financially, Bruce. I don't know if they can.
We'll see. You know, again, you're going to have to be, you know, the most important people in the offseason for Major League Baseball teams are their accountants. And what the revenues are all about. What can they spend? What must they trade off or move off to survive, not knowing whether fans will be in the stands again and that revenue being dealt with. And we know that the Cubs, more than any team in baseball, maybe outside of the Red Sox, are dependent solely, you know, maybe two-thirds to three-quarters of their revenues coming in from that particular fan day experience each game where they fill up the ballpark. So from all of that, we will not know what Theo will be able to do, but it's going to be interesting to hear him on Monday.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm Matt Spiegel. Ron Coomer, top of the hour. You'll hear from Ricky Renteria, and you'll hear some criticism of Ricky Renteria, impassioned by one of the TV broadcasters as well. You'll hear all of that before 11 o'clock on Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score.
Well, it's just the start of something. You know, I think it was a good, you know, for us to get in. You know, guys got a taste of it. And I think it's just going to make them more hungry to, you know, to get back there. And we battled today. You know, I couldn't be more happy and proud of, you know, the way we fought. And I know that we gave our all. You know, it's just a tough one to swallow, but we got to keep going. You know, it's just the start of something that, you know, that could be great.
That is White Sox leadoff man Tim Anderson talking about how this playoff appearance was just the start of something. Frustrating, but he couldn't be prouder. And that's quite a playoff debut for Tim Anderson on multiple levels, isn't it, Bruce Levine?
It is, and especially because of the way that, you know, his season, he, you know, in the last 3 weeks of the season, his batting average dropped like 40 points. He was in a bad slump. You could tell he was in between with his swing, indecisive. That's not Tim Anderson. You know, just the... You know, the importance of him being at the top of the order doing his thing is so evident this year, Matt, because when he was out with an injury, they failed to put up runs. When he was slumping, it became difficult for them to score runs. He is truly the energizer, the guy that gets things going for the Chicago White Sox. There's no question about it. Just his overall demeanor, not just the way that he delivers base hits and improved his play at shortstop, but just the overall vibe of him being pretty much the face of the Chicago White Sox organization now is really important to how this team performs on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And to show up and talk some smack in a good-natured way, which is who he is, about they're starting a lefty, they didn't do their homework, and then to deliver with three hits right away, nine hits in the three games. He's the first MLB player ever to have nine hits in his first three career playoff games. It's pretty remarkable. You know, it's, and Abreu had a good showing too, except for that that brutal double play late in game three. But overall, it's just a very different feeling for the White Sox than it is for the Cubs. We've got a call. Don in Glen Ellen is up now on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel here on The Score. Good morning, Don.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to see the Cubs trade Contreras and try to sign McCann, if it's possible, who's a free agent from the Sox. What do you think of that?
Ooh, James McCann,
are you a Contreras
to the north side.
You do not like Contreras, is that it?
Don, you not a Contreras fan?
I'm a Contreras fan. It's just I think he should just be traded, you know.
Okay. All right, thanks for the call, Don. James McCann is going to make some money on an open market this year, and we're going to get into that a little bit in the 10 o'clock hour as we continue to talk Cubs, but concentrate on the White Sox significantly as well, and some of the moves that they might be making. And McCann is certainly an interesting free agent out there, because the improvement of the Chicago White Sox young pitchers and just his overall game has been so important for the Chicago White Sox over the last 2 years. If anything, just isolated to what he's meant to Lucas Giolito and catching him on a daily, you know, every five game basis. So McCann is going to make some money. I doubt that it's going to be with the Chicago White Sox.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan for all the reasons you just said, Bruce, the work he did with the young pitchers, and also just how he took this kind of, you know, this not a slap in the face, but it sure is a slap in the value to have them go out and sign Yasmani Grandal. And he showed up and worked so hard. And by the end of the year, multiple guys were very clear that they wanted to pitch to James McCann and got the chance to do so. And he produced. So I'm a fan, but you don't think it'll be here, huh?
No, I don't. And we'll go into more detail on that in our White Sox segment. Ron Coomer coming up next on our show. We'll talk a little bit about the end of the Cubs season, what's in the future. At 10:45 today, special guest, the newest Hall of Famer, Ted Simmons, will join us to talk about his former teammate, the late Bob Gibson, who passed away yesterday at the age of 84. Nothing is more relevant or thought about more than Sandy Koufax and Bob Gibson when we get around to fall and dominant pitchers who pitched in postseason and made a huge impact. So the passing of Bob Gibson will be talked about with Ted Simmons at 10:45 as well. That's
outstanding. I saw that MLB Network today at 1:30 Eastern, 12:30 Central is replaying the 17 strikeout World Series start from Bob Gibson. If you're looking for a little baseball buzz with no big league games today, you can watch Gibson strike out 17 in a World Series game at 12:30.
Yeah, I think launch angle wasn't invented yet, right? I
mean, well, I don't know. Ted was doing it. Ted was doing launch angle, right? Before
yeah,
that.
We'll get to talk to him about that. Obviously, the going into the Hall of Fame this year, even though there wasn't an induction, his induction will be part of the 2021 Hall of Fame group. Everybody put on hold like everyone else in this pandemic era.
Inside the Clubhouse continues next hour on 670 The Score. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Matt Spiegel. Ron Coomer joins us next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.